Today's daf is Shabbos daf Yud Tes. We left off on daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. We are at the two dots. Beis Shammai Yomrim Ein Mocher, about 10 lines from the end of the page, on daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, by Shani and Brian Sober in memory of Rabbi Chaim HaKohen Hyman, Alav HaShalom, and for Yeshua for Klal Yisrael, and by Daniel Bornstein for a continued Refuah Shleima for Yitzchak Mendel Ben Sara Bela, and by Chani and J.J. Hornblast to mark the end of the Shloshim for J.J.'s great aunt, a Holocaust survivor, Elizabeth Fried, Devorah Bas Moshe. May her neshama have an aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much, and we left off again at the two dots at Beis Shammai Omrim. So the first thing we're going to discuss, a lot of dafyomi coincidences today. We're going to talk about selling things to a guy on Erev Shabbos, but then we're going to talk about selling chametz to a guy before Pesach. That how long before Pesach do you have to sell your chametz to a guy? Then the Gemara is going to discuss sending letters before Shabbos. Are you allowed to send a letter, put a letter in the mail before Shabbos, knowing that the mailman is going to be working for you on Shabbos by delivering that letter? Or I guess the more practical side of things, are you allowed to order Amazon Prime right before Shabbos, knowing that they're going to be coming and working on Shabbos? The Gemara is also going to discuss traveling in a boat within 3 days of Shabbos. Is that too risky as far as Chilul Shabbos is concerned? And the Gemara is also going to discuss the difference between white and colored clothing as far as the amount of work that it takes to launder the clothing. Then at the end of Amud Aleph, going over to Amud Beis, we're going to discuss pressing olives and grapes before Shabbos so that the juices continue to squeeze out of them into Shabbos, and we're going to try to identify who the Tana of our Mishnah follows. And then on Amud Beis, in the middle of Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss three different disputes between Rav and Shmuel about halachos of muktzah, about different items, and whether they are muktzah or not. And that will bring us that at the very, very end, right before the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to talk about saving food from a house that's on fire, and so we'll have a small machlokas about that, about what one is and is not allowed to do, even though the primary sugya for that is not really over here. The primary sugya is way later in the Masechta, Daf Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph, but we're going to make a brief mention of it over here. So let's begin. Beis Shammai Omer Main Mochrin. So Beis Shammai had said, you're not allowed to sell to a Nachri, nor are you allowed to help him schlep or load him up or lift on him in order, unless he's able to get to his destination before Shabbos. So on Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to load him up with packages, but Beis Hillel is matir, Beis Hillel says it's okay. So Tanu Rabbanan, Beis Shammai Omrim Lo Yimkor Adam Chefzo Lenachri Velo Yashilenu. A Braisa elaborates on this mission and says that according to Beis Shammai, you're not allowed to sell an object to a guy on Erev Shabbos, nor are you allowed to loan him an object to use and return as is. Velo Yilavenu, nor can you lend him an object that he's going to give back the value of it or another object like it. That's the difference between a She'ela and a Halva'a. She'ela, we assume he's going to give back the very same item. Halva'a is he might use that item, but then he'll replace it with a similar item. V'lo yitein lo b'matana. You're not allowed to give him an object as a matana. Ella k'dei she'yagia l'beiso. Unless he has enough time to get to his house before Shabbos starts, because if he takes that object out on Shabbos, he's being motziit mirushus l'rushus. He's being mavir et al ramos in rushus harabim on Shabbos, and everyone's going to say that he's doing that for the sake of the Jew, that he's serving as a shliach of a Israel. So Beis Shammai is concerned about that, and therefore Beis Shammai assers all of these things. But Beis Hillel omrim, k'dei she'yagia l'bayis ha'samuch l'choma. No, you just need to give him enough time to get to the house that's closest to the wall of the city where he lives. I mean, that's closest to the edge of the city where he lives. So since he could put the object down there, the fact that he continues to carry it makes it very clear that he's not doing anything for the Jew, that he's working for himself. And then Rabbi Akiva omer, k'dei she'yetze mi'pesach beiso. That it's only the heter is if he has enough time to leave the house of the Jew before Shabbos begins. So from the fact that from the lashon of Rabbi Akiva, it sounds like there are three shittos over here. There's Beis Shammai, there's Beis Hillel, and there's Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara clarifies that no, I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Hey, name divrei Rabbi Akiva. Hey, name divrei Beis Hillel. Rabbi Akiva is not arguing on Beis Hillel. He's an interpretation of shittos Beis Hillel. That lo bar Rabbi Akiva el lefaresh divrei Beis Hillel. That the Tanakam Kama and Rabbi Akiva disagree what Shitas Beis Hillel is. The Tanakama thinks that Beis Hillel holds that there needs to be enough time for him to get to the Bayis HaSamach L'choma, and Rabbi Akiva thinks that Beis Hillel holds that he only needs enough time to get out of the Jew's home before Shabbos begins. Good, that's as far as a package on Erev Shabbos. Tan Rabban, but we have a Braisa that talks about selling Chametz before Pesach. Beis Shamayam, this is before they came up with the Chachma of selling all of our Chametz to a non-Jew to avoid the Isser and then buying it back after Pesach. This is not the conversation over here. The Gemara never thought of such a conversation, to buy back all of our Chametz from a Nachri after Pesach. The Gemara sort of thought of such a conversation, but not in the context of Chametz, in the context of Bechor. If a person has a Behema HaMivakeres in Meseches Bechoros, and he doesn't want the animal to have Kedushas Bechor, so there is a Mechira that is done in order to make sure that it's under non-Jewish ownership, and thereby you avoid Kedushas Bechor. So that serves as the basis for most of Mechiras Chametz. What we're talking about over here is you own a food business, and you're selling food, and it happens to be before Pesach, you're selling food for people to eat, not to sell back to you. So Beis Shammai Omrim Lo Yimkor Adam Chemtzel Lenachri, Elim Ken Yodea Bo, that Beis Shammai says you can only sell chametz before Pesach if there's enough time that he'll be able to finish that chametz before Pesach begins. Because apparently, according to Beis Shammai, the mitzvah of biur chametz is, the way Rashi explains, that you have to make sure that chametz is no longer on this earth when Pesach begins. The Ramban at the beginning of Masechet Pesachim says that if you sell it properly to a guy, then Beis Shammai is moda that it's not an Isser D'Oraisa, but it's an Isser D'Rabbanan, that it looks like a ha'arama, but the way Rashi sounds like it's that part of the mitzvah da'oraisa of biur chametz is that you have to make sure that it's no longer on this earth, and it's not enough that it's not in your ownership anymore. Beis Hillel omrim calls man shemutal liochlo mutal lemochro. Beis Hillel says no. If you're still allowed to eat the chametz on erev Pesach, then you're allowed to sell the chametz to a nachri, even though the chametz is going to remain in the rishos hanachri on Pesach, because according to Beis Hillel, the mitzvah of biur chametz is to make sure it's no longer in your possession, to make sure it's no longer in the Rishus of Yisrael, but not to make sure that it doesn't exist on this earth. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kutach HaBavli, V'kol Mine Kutach, Asur Limkor, Shloshim Yom, Kodem HaPesach. He says that if you have a dip, something like Kutach, which is something that lasts a very long time, it does not spoil quickly, so you're not allowed to sell that to a Nachri within 30 days before Pesach, because the Kutach is made with Chametz in it, and it doesn't get eaten very quickly, so it's going to take a long time for the person to finish it. So we have to worry that maybe the Nachri is going to keep some of the Kutach around on Pesach as well. According to Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda is really holding like Shitas Beis Shammai in this Braisa, that you're not allowed to sell Chametz to a Nachri unless you know that there's going to be time to get rid of it. But before Shloshim Yom, even though there's a high likelihood he's not going to get rid of it, before Shloshim Yom, you're allowed to sell it to him anyway, because within more than 30 days before Pesach, you don't have to start thinking about Pesach. That's what the Gemara talks about in Maseches Pesachim. At the beginning of Maseches Pesachim, if a person travels somewhere more than 30 days before Pesach, that the Chiyuv Bedika did not begin, and that he doesn't have to do Bedikas Chametz before leaving more than 30 days before Pesach. Rabbi Jeremy Weider told me that this was the only year he ever had to actually paskin this lahalacha, that we had boys leaving yeshiva, and it was right before Purim, and there was a chance that they weren't going to come back. They didn't know if they were going to come back to yeshiva or not. As it turns out, they didn't. We didn't come back to yeshiva. So the shaila is, do they have to do a bedikas chametz before they leave, more than 30 days before Pesach? So sadly, these are the shailas that come up. But the idea of 30 days is not because 30 days is a guarantee that a person will finish all of the chametz within 30 days. No, it's based on the inyan, the Gemara says, of Shaul and Vidarshan, Bilchas Achag, Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag, that for Pesach to be on our radar screen, for Pesach to even be on our mind, is something that's a chiyuv only 30 days before Pesach. More than 30 days before Pesach, we don't need to be thinking about Pesach. Tosfos writes that Rabbi Yehuda is actually going like Shitas Beis Hillel, that you're allowed to sell chametz to a guy on Erev Pesach, But dafka with kutach, he's more machmir. Because apparently kutach wasn't just chametz. It was like every family had their own kutach recipe. So if you had, it was like, I don't know, barbecue sauce for people who are into that, right? That you have your own special mix. So if so kutach represents something that sort of shmo love, that the Jew's name is on that kutach, and everyone will recognize that. So since Shem Bailav Alav, everyone is going to realize that that's the kutach of the Yisrael, and everyone's going to think that the Jew gave it to the guy to sell on Pesach, or that he himself sold it to the guy on Pesach, and that's why we're extra machmir when it comes to kutach. So according to Rashi's understanding that Rabbi Yehuda is talking within the Beis Shammai, we're extra makil by kutach, that even though kutach is still going to be around, you only have to worry up until 30 days. According to Tosus's understanding, this is Tosus and Maseches Pesachim and Daf Chaf Aleph, according to Tosus's understanding, we're extra machmir by kutach, that everything else you're allowed to sell on Erev Pesach, but kutach, since it's Shmo Alav, you're not allowed to sell even up until 30 days before Pesach. Tanu Rabbanan, Nosim Mizonos Lefnei Hakelev B'chatzar Natalo V'yatza Ein Niskakenlo, that if you put food in front of a dog on Shabbos in a chatzar, and the dog takes the food and he leaves the chatzar, so you don't have to prevent him from doing that. That's fine. Kayotzebo, similarly, Nosim Mizonos Lefnei Nachri B'chatzar Natalo V'yatza Ein Niskakenlo, that if you put food in front of a nachri in a chatzar, and the nachri takes the food and goes outside of the chatzar, it's not your problem, it's perfectly fine. So, frankly, Marasulamali, once you tell me the din by a dog, why do you have to tell me the din by a nachri? Hainuhach, it's the same din that you're allowed to put mizonos in the chatzer, and you don't have to worry about others who are not Jews, who are not your problem, taking the food outside of the chatzer. Sfasemis is a little bit bothered by the kasha. What do you mean, hainuhach? A human is the same as a dog, meaning there's a much greater chiddush by a nachri than there is by a kelev. Even though there's an isser to put other things in front of a nachri, but you're allowed to put mizonos in front of a nachri. I mean, there's an isra of amira la'akum. There's not really an isra of amira lekelev that you have on Shabbos. It's totally different gedarim as far as shvisas behema on Shabbos. Someone once asked the shayla. I think Rav Zilberstein has it. It makes sense. Rav Zilberstein would have it. Someone had trained his dog to turn on and off the lights, to jump up against the light switch. So is that a violation to ask to signal the dog to do that on Shabbos? Is that a violation of shvisas behema? To ask a guy to do that would certainly be us. By a behema, not so pashut that it's aser. So Sasem is a little bit bothered by the kasha, but either way, that's the Gemara's kasha. So says Gemara, Mal de Tema, Hai Rami Ale, Vahai Lo Rami Ale. Come Ash Mulad. I might have thought that the dog is your responsibility to feed, and that's why you're allowed to put mizonos in front of it on Shabbos. But the Nachri, why cause the problem? Why do you have to give him food in the first place? It's not your responsibility to feed the Nachri, so why would you put food in front of him and then watch him take it out of the chatzer? So kamash malan, that's why the Brice has to tell me that even though it's not your responsibility to feed the nachri, you're allowed to put food in front of him in the chatzer, and then he could do with that food as he pleases. Tan Rabbanan, lo yaskir adam kelim l'nachri b'erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to rent out your kelim to a nachri on Erev Shabbos, because it looks like you're renting out the kelim so that he can use them on Shabbos, but b'revi b'chamishi mutter, that on Wednesday and Thursday, you're allowed to rent out your kelim, even though he's going to continue using those kelim on Shabbos. Kayotze bo, ein mishalchin igros biyad nachri ve'erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to send letters with a nachri carrying the letters for you on Erev Shabbos, because it looks like you're asking him to do malacha for you on Shabbos. But on Wednesday or Thursday, it's mutter. So amr lav al Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, va'amri la al Rabbi Yossi HaChassid. They said either about Rabbi Yossi HaKohen or Rabbi Yossi HaChassid that shalom nimtzuk sav yado biyad nachri me'olam, that he never sent his letters with a non-Jewish mail carrier, because he was always concerned that it would look like that the non-Jew is carrying the letter for him on Shabbos. And now the Gemara brings another brisa about sending letters. Tanu Rabbanan, ein mishalchin igeres bi'anachri erev Shabbos, elim kin kotzeitz lo damim. Oh, so very important exception, says Gemara. You are allowed to send a letter if you have a set price for the payment for sending that letter. If the if you tell him how much he's going to get paid, then you're allowed to send him the you're allowed to send him with the letter on Erev Shabbos, because it no longer looks like he's doing this for the Jew. He's doing this for his payment. He's doing this because it's his job, and that's the major heter with sending mail. That there is a postage fee, and that postage fee is a set thing. So so that's the heter. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Simon Resh Mem Zayin Sif Aleph that when there are predetermined postal fees, you're allowed to drop a letter in a mailbox on Friday, and that's even if it was put in the mailbox right before Shabbos. And the Mishmur explains that it's even mutter if they guarantee next day delivery, because the decision to deliver on Shabbos is purely in the hands of the non-Jew. However, some of the Achronim point out that you're not allowed to mail a letter on Friday afternoon in Israel, where almost all of the postal workers are Jewish. So maybe a difference between Eretz Yisrael and America. But then again, in Israel, they don't actually deliver it either. They just throw it somewhere. But if you have a reliable postal service, so you have that issue. In Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he quotes from Rosh Hashanah Zalman that you're not allowed to send a package from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael on a Friday afternoon, and it's not an Isser of Amir La'akum, but it's an Isser of Lifnei Iver. But if the post office employs Jews and non-Jews, then it's mutter to deliver the letter, because there's no Isser against doing something that say Suffolk Livneiver that might be something that the Jew is going to do. Mishnah Brura also points out that you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to bring a package to another city by a certain date if you know that the non-Jew can't get there without traveling on Shabbos. Based on that, it would seem that sending an overnight package on Friday to be delivered on Shabbos should be usher, but it's not so pasha. That is a major machlokas in the poskim. There are poskim that say that it's mutter based on a number of factors. First of all, the non-Jewish postal worker is going to be carrying many, many more letters and packages other than yours. So you're not asking him to do a malacha, but you're just asking him to be marba bishurim, to carry one more thing that he wasn't going to otherwise carry. Also, when you put a letter in the mailbox or at the post office, you're not asking the local postal worker to do the malacha for you. You're asking him to send another postal worker to do a malacha for him. And that's what we call amir la amir, amir da amira. So that's another step removed. Also, the workers, the delivery men, do not work for you. They work for the service, for UPS, for the postal service, for FedEx. They work for their bosses. They're not working for you, and therefore it's not considered to have done a malacha for a Jew. So a number of the poskim are mekel based on those considerations, even with an overnight package, but it's at least a lebedik topic. So anyway, so it says the Gemara, there's a machlokas tanoim, b'shame omrim, k'dei she'agia lebeiso, b'silom k'dei she'agia lebayis, that to send a letter with a nachri on Erev Shabbos, Beis Shammai says he has to be able to get to the house of the guy that you're sending the letter to. Beis Hillel says no, just to the house of the first home closest to the wall of the city where you are sending the letter to. So the Gemara assumes that this means that even when you have a set price to send the letter, you're not allowed to send him a letter on Erev Shabbos unless he's able to get before Shabbos to the Bayis HaSamuch L'choma, according to Beis Hillel. So ask the Gemara, Valo Kitzitz. But wait a second, you set a set price, and didn't we just learn that that's the big exception, that if you have a set price, then it's automatically going to be mutter? So Rav Sheshes Hachi Ka'amar. No, what it means to say is, V'im lo katzatz, that if you don't have a set postal fee, then Beis Shammai Amar Machi Agil Beis Hillel Amar Machi Agil Bayis HaSamach L'choma. Then you have this machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, how far he has to be able to get before Shabbos begins. So now the Gemara says, how could we say that it's talking about the Bryce is talking about a case that a person is allowed to send a letter with a nachri on Erev Shabbos even without a set price? V'amit Reisha Ein Meshalchin. The Reisha already said you're not allowed to send a letter with a nachri unless you were kotzeitz lo damim. So it sounds that even if he's able to get there before Shabbos, you're not allowed to send without kotzeitz damim. So says Marlo Kasha. Ha de kviya beidavar b'masa, va de lo kviya beidavar b'masa. That you can't ask a stira between the Reisha and the Seif of the Brysa, because the Seif of the Brysa that allows sending a
a letter with a Nachri on Erev Shabbos, even without a set price, as long as he's able to get there Mibod Yom. That's talking about that the governor of that town where you're sending the letter to lives in that city. Whereas the Reisha of the Braisa, which says that you're not allowed to send a letter Biyad Nachri on Erev Shabbos if you didn't set a price, that's talking about where the governor of that town is not Kavua in that city, but sometimes he goes to a different city. Meaning that a person is allowed to send a letter with a Nachri on Erev Shabbos to a person who lives in a different city if the recipient of that letter is a Kavua resident of that city. And he's able to get there, the person bringing the letter is able to get there to his house before Shabbos, even if you didn't have a set price, because the Nachri could do the Shlichus before Shabbos begins. But if the recipient doesn't live there b'kavius, so then we have to be choshesh that maybe you're going to go bring the letter and you're not going to find the fellow there, and you're going to have to go to another city to find him. And that we're not going to allow, sending with a Nachri on Erev Shabbos, because even if there's time to get to the house where you think you might find him, you may not find him there, and then you're going to continue doing the work on Shabbos. The idea that we use the term of that we're talking about the governor of the city, that's just an example, because that's apparently who they used to send letters to when they're looking for a tax extension or something like that. But it's lav dafka the governor of the city. It could just be a wealthy person who has more than one home and may not be kavua in that home that's in that city. Tan Rabbanan, now another halacha. Ein mafligin b'sfina pachos mishol shiyam kodem l'Shabbos. A person is not allowed to begin a boat trip less than 3 days before Shabbos. Ba'medvar mamurim l'dvar arshus. Aval dvar mitzvah shapir dami. But that's only usher if you're doing it l'dvar arshus. You're stam going on a cruise. But if you're doing it for a dvar mitzvah, then it's going to be mutter. The idea is that the 3 days is that just like we have this notion that within 30 days of Pesach you already have to start thinking about Pesach, so you have such a similar notion when it comes to Shabbos, that within 3 days of Shabbos you already have to start thinking about Shabbos. And since there's a likelihood that it will require Chil Shabbos in order to run the boat, so you have to be concerned about that on Erev Shabbos. There is a major machlokas Rishonim exactly how to understand this halacha. The Gra writes in the name of many Rishonim that the 3 days starts with Shabbos itself, and therefore you're allowed to go on Wednesday. But there is a machlokas Rishonim what the Isser is based on. Meaning, it happens to be machlokas Rishonim whether the Isser starts Wednesday or the Isser starts Thursday, Wednesday night, which is halachically Thursday. But there's a further machlokas Rishonim what the reason for this Isser is. Rabbeinu Chananel holds it's because of an Isser Tchumen, that when you're maflig besvina, you go outside of the Tchum, alpayim amma, of the place where you're shoves, and since if the svina is not ten tfachim off the ground of the ocean, then it's going to be a problem. But if it's more than ten tfachim off the ground, then you're allowed to be maflig, because there's no Tchumen l'mala me'asara, and it wouldn't be a problem anyway. So he understands that it's purely a din in Tchumen. The Rif quotes this Rabbeinu Chananel, and he has a whole bunch of kashas on Rabbeinu Chananel, and he says, no, that's not what we're talking about over here. The issue over here is not tchumen. The issur is because of bittul mitzvahs oneg Shabbos. That till a person gets their sea legs, you know, till a person gets used to being at sea, it takes 3 days. And for 3 days, they're gonna be seasick. And we don't want a person to be seasick on Shabbos. It's going to be mevatel his oneg Shabbos. A third shita is the famous shita of the Bala Ma'ar. The Bala Ma'ar says that whenever you're traveling by yam, there's a cheska sakana, and sometimes you need to be mechal Shabbos because of a chashash of pikuach nefesh. So since the 3 days that are closest to Shabbos, like we said before, are shayich to Shabbos, they're somehow connected to Shabbos, so therefore, during those 3 days, you already have to be thinking about avoiding a situation where you're going to have to be Mechalel Shabbos. Now, according to that Bala Ma'ar, there may be significant implications about this for other areas of Halacha, that you have to be cognizant 3 days before Shabbos of anything that might lead to Chilel Shabbos. There's a tshuva in the Tashbetz where he says that you're not allowed to do a Mila of a Ger on a Thursday. Why? Because the third day of the Mila is going to be Shabbos, and you're going to need to be Mechalel mechal Shabbos. So don't do a milas hager on a Thursday. Similarly, some of the achronim suggest, and the Shach discusses this in Yerideas and Reish Samach Vav in Hilchas Mila. Some of the achronim suggest whenever you have a mila shelo bezmana, you shouldn't do it on a Thursday. Meaning, if you really take this balamar seriously, that you have to be concerned within 3 days of Shabbos of what's going to lead to chilul Shabbos. So then you have a concern about performing a mila in advance. The achronim point out, the Shach points out that no, our Gemara is explicit that this is only for dvar harashus that it's a problem, but for a dvar mitzvah it's mutter. Can you imagine a greater dvar mitzvah than a mila? One would imagine that would be mutter. But be that as it may, it's a major discussion in the poskim. So again, so here we have this halacha that you're not allowed to go on a boat trip within 3 days before Shabbos. But medvar mamur dvar harashus al dvar mitzvah shapir dami. It's only a problem for dvar harashus, but not for dvar mitzvah. Uposik imo al menas lishpos. And the Jew can make a tanai with the owner of the boat, with the cruise line, that they're going to have to stop traveling on Shabbos, and ve'eno shoves divrei Rebbe. And even if in the end they don't stop on Shabbos, it's not your problem. You made a deal with them that they're supposed to. You don't even have to try to make such a deal with the Nachri that he should stop traveling on Shabbos. Mitzor l'tzidon afilu be'erev Shabbos muter. But if your boat trip is only from Tzor to Tzidon, which apparently is a very short trip, you're taking the Staten Island ferry or something, so that you're allowed to do on Friday morning, and you don't have to worry that that's going to be mevi l'idei chilul Shabbos, because you can get there very quickly. Tan Rabbanan, ein tzarin ala yaros shel nachrim pachs mishosh yom kadem l'Shabbos. One should not lay siege around a nachri city within 3 days of Shabbos. V'mischilu ein mafsikin, but if you already began, you don't have to stop the siege. V'cheino yeshamai omer, and Shamai says that from the pasuk we learn ad ridita afilu b'Shabbos. That the pasuk says ad ridita, it sounds like you're allowed to continue the siege even on Shabbos itself. Amram Shimon Gamliel, Noag in Hayu. So then we had in the Mishnah that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said that in Beis Abba, in his father's house, they had the minag that they would give clay lavan to the Koves Nachri only more than 3 days before Shabbos. They wouldn't give to clay lavan white kalim to the Koves Nachri within 3 days of Shabbos because it takes so long to launder white clothing. So Tanya Amar Rabbi Tzadok Kachayim in Hagosh Shabbos Rabbi Gamliel Sheinosan clay lavan leKoves Shloshi Yom Kodlam Shabbos. They would only give their clay lavan 3 days in advance of Shabbos. Utzvuim, but if it were begotten tzvuim, if it were colored clothing, afilu be'erev Shabbos, then they could give it to the dry cleaner even on erev Shabbos, and the Nachri could take care of it and finish the whole thing before Shabbos starts. From that practice, we see that apparently it's much harder to do whites than it is to do colors. Abaye brought a certain beget savua, colored clothing, to a cleaners. So Abaye said to the cleaner, how much does it cost? Meaning, what are the prices? So Amalei Kidichivara, he says, oh, you always bring me your yeshiva shagai, you're always bringing me your white shirts. Your colored shirt is the same price as your white shirt. It doesn't cost any different. So Amalei Kvar Kadmucha Rabbanan, he says, no, the Rabbanan already have outwitted you. They've taught me that's incorrect. That to clean something white takes a lot more effort, and therefore, if you're charging me the same for something colored that you charge for something white, you are overcharging for the colored clothing. Amrabai, Haiman Diyav Manalakatsu, a person brings a beget to a koves b'mashchenesivle, that she should measure the size of the beged before he gives it to him. Ubimashicha nishkal minein, he should measure it again when he takes it back from him. Di tafe afsede demachte, because if the beged is a little bit longer, the koves has stretched it too much. The ibatzir, and if it's shorter, afsede dekavse, the koves has cost him by having a trivel too much by using the wrong temperature of water. You put something sometimes in the wash and you put it on the wrong temperature, so it could shrivel up the beged. So you want to make sure that the beged is the right size when you get it back as when you gave it to them. V'shavin elu ve'elu shatoanin. And so then the Mishnah went on to say that everyone agrees that you could put the koros beis habad and the yigule agas, the giant olive press and the press on top of the grapes on erev Shabbos, even though the juice will continue to seep out on Shabbos. So frak the Gemara, maishna kulu de gazubu beis shamai. Why is it that Now, all the other cases in the Mishnah about soaking the dye and the samimanim and all that, and the ink and all those other things, Beis Shammai said, don't start doing that on Erev Shabbos, even though it's going to finish, the melacha is going to finish by itself on Shabbos. And yet, to Mishnah Kodesh Beis Abad, Vigulei Agas, the Lo Gazru. And why is it, when it comes to the olive press and to the wine press, they didn't make any such gzeira? Say, answer Gemara, Hanach the Avalu B'Shabbos Mechayev Chatas, all the other melachos, if you were to do those on Shabbos B'Shogeg, you'd be Chayev Karban Chatas, so Gazru Be Beis Shammai, Erev Shabbos M'Chashecha. So Beis Shammai said, a gzeira, you shouldn't do them Erev Shabbos M'Chashecha either. But Koros Beis Abad V'Igulei Agas, the Avalu Hu B'Shabbos, Lo Mechayev Chatas, but the Koros Beis Abad V'Igulei Agas, that if you were to do them on Shabbos, you wouldn't be Chayev Chatas, even though Schita Zesim Anavim is an Av Melacha on Shabbos, but that's only when you didn't crush them already Miba'od Yom. But over here, where it's already crushed Miba'od Yom, and you're just squeezing out the very last juices, so then it wouldn't be a Chayev Chatas, and therefore Lo Gazru, the Beis Shammai thought it wasn't necessary to make a Gzeira, because even if you were to do it on Shabbos, it wouldn't be a Chayev Chatas. So Man Tana D'Kol Midi Dasim Mei L'Shapir Dami, who's the Tana that holds that anything that's going to happen on its own, like the liquids that are going to come out anyway from these olives and from these grapes, it's not an Isser Torah, it's not an Isser Doraisa of Schita on Shabbos, that Beis Shammai is therefore going to say that you're allowed to set it up before Shabbos, even L'Chadchila? So I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Shmalhi. That follows the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel. We're going to have two possibilities of who the Shita is. So the first possibility is Rabbi Shmuel. Ditnan, because there's a Mishnah Masech Seduyos, Hashum Vaboser Vamalilos, Shariskan Mibod Yom. If you have unripe grapes, or you have stalks of wheat that were crushed up from Erev Shabbos, and right now you want to press them even further before Shabbos begins, in order that whatever juices should squeeze out of them, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Yigmor Mishatechshach. You're allowed to put the beam on them Mibod Yom, in order that the Gemar Malacha will happen after Shabbos begins. But Rabbi Akiva Omer, Lo Yigmar. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you're not allowed to put it underneath the beam, Miba'od Yom, Al-Menas, that it should end when Shabbos, that it should continue into Shabbos. So you see from Rabbi Yishmael that if you're Sochet, Shum, Boser, Melilos, something that was crushed on Erev Shabbos, you're not going to be Chayev Chatos. And that's why he's Matil L'Chadchila, to put the Korah on them, Miba'od Yom. That's the Shita of Beis Shammai in our Mishnah. So says Gemar, that's one possibility. But Rabbi Elazar Amar, Rabbi Elazar he. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas says that, Rabbi Elazar the Amora says that the author of this Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar the Tana, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, who is the Tana. Why? What did Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua say? Ditnan, we have a Mishnah that's going to appear much later in the Masechta. Chalos Devash, Shariskan Erev Shabbos, V'yotzu Me'atzman. If you have honeycombs that were crushed on Erev Shabbos, and some honey seeps out of them on Shabbos, also, you're not allowed to eat that honey on Shabbos, because you have to be choshesh that you're going to come to squeeze it biyadayim on Shabbos, and that would be an Issa d'Oraisa. But Rabbi Elazar matir, Rabbi Elazar allows the dvash that comes out on Shabbos, allows you to eat the dvash that comes out on Shabbos, and he's not gozer that you might come to squeeze it out with your hands. Why? Because he holds, even if you do squeeze it out with your hands, it's not an Issa d'Oraisa, because the dvash would come out on its own anyway, since it was already pre-crushed before Shabbos. So what do you see? That Rabbi Elazar holds that anything that ultimately would come out on its own anyway, there's no Isser of Schita Min HaTorah on Shabbos, and Mimela, you're allowed to do it on Erev Shabbos, even L'Chadchila. So says Gemara, these are both very viable explanations of who the Tana is that seems to assume that you're allowed to set such a thing up before Shabbos. So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, my time alone with Rabbi Elazar. Why did Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina not want to say, like Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, that the author is Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua? So Amar Lach, he'll tell you no. The case of Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua with the Chalos Devash is a totally different case. You can't compare the two cases. You can't bring a raya from the Chalos Devash. Why? Hasamu d'mei kara ochel b'sof ochel. By the Chalos Devash, where Rabbi Elazar is matir the Devash, dvash that comes out on Shabbos, when the dvash was still in the chalos, it had a din of an ochel. And now that it's come out, it still has a din of an ochel. And that's why Rabbi Lazar holds that even if you were to squeeze it out biyodayim on Shabbos, there would be no iser daraisa, because there's no iser daraisa of taking ochel from ochel. You know what the iser daraisa of schita is? When you take a mashke from an ochel, you take a grape and you squeeze it and you make wine. That's the iser daraisa. But the chalos dvash, it's ochel and it's ochel, so it would never be an iser daraisa anyway. But hachamei kara ochel v'hashta mashke. But when you're dealing with shemen and yayin, so you were dealing with olives and grapes, and now it's shemen and yayin. So now you're playing around with something that's an actual iser daraisa of schita. Rabbi Lazar Amar Lach and Rabbi Lazar Ben Pedas would say back, in order to be miyashev, that taina on him, that hashamina le the Rabbi Elazar, that we find that Rabbi Lazar the Tana holds in the braisa, ta'afilu zeisim v'adav namishari. Rabbi Lazar the Tana did not only say this when it came to chalos tavash, he held the same thing even when it came to Zaysim Vanavim. How do I know that? Kiyasa Rav Hoshaya Minarda'a, when Rav Hoshaya Minarda'a came, Asa Va'isi Masnisa Biyadei, he brought a brisa with him that said as follows, that Zaysim Vanavim Shariskan Me Erev Shabbos V'yotsu Me Atzman Asurin, Rav Lazav Rabbi Shimon Matirin, that if you have olives and grapes that were crushed in Erev Shabbos, and the mashke is coming out on its own, so it's Asur to use that mashke on Shabbos, because we have to be Choshesh, you're going to be Sochet Biyadayim on Shabbos. But Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon are both matir that mashka that comes out from them on Shabbos. So you see that Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua in this brisa is matir not only by chalos tvash, but by zesim and anavim as well. That the mashka that comes out from them on Shabbos on its own is going to be mutter, and we're not choshesh that you're going to come to be sochet biyadayim on Shabbos. So that's why Beishamai might be following the shita of Rabbi Lazar ben Pedas, and it fits perfectly. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina brisa lo shmielei. And Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, who thought that there's a distinction to be made between chalos tavash on the one hand and zeisim and anavim on the other hand, he didn't know about that brisa where Blazar is mefurash that he says the same thing about zeisim v'anavim. So now flipping it around, says the Gemara, Rabbi Blazar my time alone with Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. What was wrong with Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina saying that the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yishmael? Rabbi Yishmael allows being towing the Korah on Erev Shabbos on shum and bosar and melilos and all these other things that have been crushed on Erev Shabbos. Why do you have to say that it's following Rabbi Lazar ben Pedas? Just say it's following this shita of Rabbi Ishmael. So Amalach, so Rabbi Lazar ben Pedas would respond, La Vitmar Allah, didn't we say about this machlokas between Rabbi Ishmael and Rabbi Akiva, that Amar Rava Bar Chanina, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Bimuchusarin Dicha, that we're talking about that the garlic and the bosa, the unripened grapes, and all of these things, that even though they've been crushed a little bit, but they weren't really fully crushed, the Kuli Amalopligi, then everyone would agree, even Rabbi Ishmael would agree that it's Aser, to put the beam on them on Erev Shabbos, Al Manas, that the malacha should finish on Shabbos, because that's doing the real malacha of schita. So the whole malacha is actually being done on Shabbos. Ki pligi b'muchusar in shchika. The only case that they argue about is where you already did crush it up really, really well, and it's just missing shchika, a little bit more crushing for the gemar malacha. V'haninami k'muchusar in dicha damu. But zeisim and anavim are considered as if they're muchusar in dicha, and nevertheless Beishamai still allows it. So we don't want to point to Rabbi Yishmael as the one that's aligned with Beishamai, because Rabbi Yishmael would agree that if it's muchusar dicha, then it's going to be aser. Rabbi Yishmael was talking about a case where it was mostly fully crushed. You just had a little bit more scraping that had to be done. So, Hora Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yishmael. Halacha l'maisa, he paskins like Rabbi Yishmael, that you're allowed to put the Korah on Erev Shabbos, on the Bosar and the Melilos and the Shum, and it's allowed to continue that Malacha going into Shabbos. In general, whenever we have the term Hora always means that it's a Hora'a, it means that it's a significant Psak, not an easy Psak to make, which means that it's a kula. We never have the Gemara as an expression, Maseches Ksubos, mi'ika hora'a li'isser, that you would never have the term hora if it was an isser, because it always takes a little more confidence to be makil than it does to be machmir. Okay, next, says the Gemara, shemen shel badadin. If you have the shemen that remains in the corners of the olive press, that the olive press workers get to keep that oil for themselves, for their own, for their wages, umach salo shel badadin. So now we're about to have three machlokos about hilchos Hilchos Mukta. And the mats that the owners of the olive press used to cover the olives, so Rav Asar, Rav says it's Asar to use them, it's Mukta, Shmuel Shari, and Shmuel says that it's Mutter, that it's not Mukta. Hani Krochid Zuze, the mats that are used to cover the schara that you bring on a boat, that Rav Asar, Rav holds that those mats also are mukta, Ushmol Shari, and Shmuel says, no, you're allowed to use them for whatever you want on Shabbos. Amar of Nachman, Eiz L'chalva, if you have a goat that's meant for milking, and you have no plans on shechting that goat, V'racha L'gizasar, you have a sheep that you mean that's meant for shearing, V'tarnagolas L'beitzatzar, you have a chicken that's meant for laying eggs, V'torei D'radia, or you have oxen that are meant for plowing, V'tamri D'iska, you have dates that you're supposed to bring for schora, you're supposed to use them as for to sell for business. Rav Asar Ushmuel Amar Mutter. Rav says you're not allowed to use them on Shabbos and Yom Tov because they're muktzah, meaning you're not allowed to shecht on Yom Tov a goat or a rachel or a tarnagolas or the oxen, because when Yom Tov started, they were muktzah for their particular malacha, for the challah, for the beitzim, and you had no plans on using them for their meat. So and Rav doesn't allow eating the dates on Shabbos or Yom Tov either, because they were designated for schora. You weren't planning on using them for your own food. But Shmuel says that it's mutter. So all three of these machlokas are about the extent to which we declare something muktzah. So the kamifli beplukta to Rabbi Yudah of Rabbi Shimon. This is the machlokas, the broader machlokas, between Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Shimon about the din of muktzah in general. That Rabbi Yehuda's machmir about the dinim of muktzah, that anything that's omed for a particular usage is considered muktzah on Shabbos, and that's what Rav holds. And Rabbi Shimon is much more makel on the dinim of muktzah. He holds that anything that's ra'oi to be used for multiple purposes, even though you only thought you were going to use it for one purpose, it's not muktza to be used for its other purposes. Hahu talmida da'ori b'charsa da'argiz. There was a Talmud that was being mora halacha in a city called Charsa da'argiz, Rabbi Shimon, and he was following the shita of Rabbi Shimon. So shamte Rav Amnuna. Rav Amnuna put him in a cherim for following the shita of Rabbi Shimon. V'Rabbi Shimon svirulan. So says Mar, but wait, we paskel like Rabbi Shimon. So he did nothing wrong. Why would you put him in a nidui just because he followed Rabbi Shimon? Says Mar Ba'asrei D'Rav Hava Lo Yibayle L'Mevid Hachi. He was in Rav's place, and since Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, it's not proper to paskin like Rabbi Shimon in Rav's hometown. Let's just get to the Mishnah over here. Hani Trei Talmidim. There was a Maisa of two Talmidim that had a machlokas how you can save things from a burning building on Shabbos to a chatzer that's included in the same eruv. Chad Matzil B'chadmana. One filled everything into one single kli. He filled a giant kli with as much food and drink as he possibly could, and he brought it from the bayis to the chatzer, but he did not bring it in multiple kelim, because he held that to bring it in multiple kelim would be a tircha yaseira, and he's not allowed to do that on Shabbos. V'chad Matzil B'arba V'chamesh Mani. And the other Talmud would save things with four or five kelim, and he would take the contents of the four or five kelim and empty that into a larger kli and bring it out that way from the chatzer, from the bayis to the chatzer. V'kamifugli b'plukta de Rabba Bar Zavda v'Rav Huna. And this is the machlokas between Rabba Bar Zavda and Rav Huna. In order to really understand that, we need to see the sugya on Daf Kuf Chaf, which I'm not even sure why this is brought over here, meaning this is very much nogeya to that sugya, but for some reason it's brought over here. But we'll see that when we get there, that this is exactly the machlokas that we have about how to be matzil min adaleika on Shabbos. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom of Yutes Amud Beis. Thank you very much, everybody, for coming to learn this morning. Stay safe. Have a great day, everybody.
Shkoyach.
Yeah. Oh. Is he fast? Anyone's fasting, etc.